I want to get into some college football here. First off, any extended thoughts on Matt Campbell that I find, obviously it's one of the big news of the day. Matt Campbell lands with Penn State. I think it's a home run hire. I think they fell into it, which is, it kind of makes it even grosser. It is failing upward. It is the person that, instead of getting like fired from their job and then they end up in like a great job, you're like, oh, that's awesome. I'm glad it worked out for that person. We see it in media all the time, it feels like, Nick, where you're just like, all right, you got fired. That stinks. This happens a lot in this business. But then it's like, oh, look at them. They landed a nice, cushy job. Instead, it sounds like the guy that like rage quit with like no backup plan, no idea what they were going to do, and then all of a sudden ended up with like a dream job or a dream situation. That's what Penn State feels like to me, because they don't deserve someone as good as Matt Campbell.
No, like, dude, this time yesterday, like it kind of seemed like Brian Daboll was like the leader in the clubhouse, and like that would have been like a gigantic meme. Everybody would have made fun of it because of how Daboll's time in the National Football League ended this season with the Giants.
It so, just would have like, been Matt Rhule 2.0.
Yeah, like everybody could have just pointed their finger at it and laughed at it, but now it's like I want to do that, but I can't because I actually do really like Matt Campbell, and I think this is a really good hire for Penn State. Now, like, is this going to put them in the same stage in the Big Ten as like an Ohio State, even in Oregon? Like, I don't think so. I don't think that this does that for them yet.
I don't know if it does or doesn't, but I do know in like conversations around Penn State now, we all found out they had like $400 million to spend. They have an insane amount of money in that trust that they've been building up in their own version of the NIL fund that they have. And so it wouldn't surprise me if they just start spending money hand over fist. I'm not saying they go full Texas Tech where immediately out of the gate, they just seem like they are spending more money than anyone can even comprehend. But it also wouldn't shock me if after a year from now, they are one of the top spenders in the sport.
Yeah, it kind of makes you think, like, if they were waiting up, like, how badly do they hate James Franklin? Like, was James Franklin really a dead man walking? Because I saw that, too, with the $400 million, and my mind immediately went, like, to the place of, well, you could have spent that. You could have helped out the guy a little bit.
Well, I think they thought that they were trying to help out the guy a little bit. Like Abdul Carter last year. Yeah. This year they had the best offensive line, in my opinion, in college football. They entered the season with what I believe to be was the best 1-2 running back tandem, the best offensive line, and then a quarterback in Drew Aller, local kid. I don't want to dog on him, but like a guy, they paid a lot of money for Drew Aller, I'm sure. It didn't work out, but like they were spending money. It's just, I think that's where the frustration with James Franklin came in, is they were opening up the coffers.
And with Drew Aller too, like, and I get he didn't live up to the expectations and then ultimately got injured, but like, it looked like they were following that same path of like, Michigan, you got it done because you had a veteran team of a bunch of guys that immediately went to the National Football League. Then last year with Ohio State and all the first round draft picks and then even second round picks that the Buckeyes had from that national championship team, it kind of seemed like it was all set up for it to be Penn State's turn. So when it was alarmingly clear that it was not going to be Penn State's turn, where they were effectively eliminated from the college football playoff by week 8 of the season, like, yeah, they probably did have to fire.
Here's what I hate about college football now, though, Nick, and this, it's bothersome to me, and this is maybe why, as we talk about Ohio State and Indiana, maybe why we need to cherish some more of these big time games, even if we've talked like a Big Ten title game is like an exhibition, like a week 4 matchup is what it feels like. You can buy your way into contention. And I don't like this for college football. Texas Tech spends a lot of money, they're in. Indiana spends a lot of money, they're in. I saw a report earlier today, it talked about how Michigan State just received a $300 million donation from one of their big boosters. And I'm like, okay, you know what my first thought wasn't? It wasn't, oh, how is Michigan State going to ever turn this program around? It's, oh, so they hired Pat Fitzgerald, a guy who I think is a scumbag. Ask me about the car wash later on, guys. But they hire Pat Fitzgerald, and all right, they're going to be really good in a year or two.
Yeah, because they're going to buy players.
They're going to buy players.
And that was my whole thing. Like, for the people that were super spooked about Brian Hartline leaving for USF, I'm like, okay, sure. Like, I'm sure Brian Hartline will do good things at USF. Like, I think he can be a good head coach. He's a good recruiter, specifically in that Southern Florida area where a lot of these receivers come from. Like, I'm sure he'll be able to get a couple of those guys. But at the end of the day, like, the Mid-American Conference right now, Jonathan, they have yet to sign even a 4-star so far ever since this national signing day happened earlier this week. So, like, all of the big fish are going to continue to go to the Ohio States of the world.
Yeah, and I don't begrudge them for it. I'm very get off my lawn about this era of college football. I don't like what it's become. I know I'm not alone out there. I just know most people that agree with me aren't in your age bracket.
So, I'm almost starting to accept it just because, like, it's so far gone at this point. Like, there's no way to get it back to what it was even 5 years ago.
Well, and even, again, I don't mind guys getting money. That's not the issue here. The issue is when all these players have agents, and then if they don't get the amount of money that they want or the playing time they want, they go to the coach and say, I'm going to go to a different school that will. Like, it feels broke to me in a way that I just don't care for. And yes, there was a part of me that I used to like. I liked the pageantry of it all. I liked the idea that you're playing for your school. But I've gone as far as to say, I don't even know why these guys go to school at this point.
Well, and
they should just be independent contractors. I don't get it at this point.
Well, and this week kind of makes the entire thing even more gross when you look at what's happening
check,
with
like
this.
The janitor gets a check, and then we go about our day.
When you look at what's going on with Legend Bay, with the Ohio State thing, where he wants to go to – he wants to be in Columbus. He wants to be a Buckeye. He's 17 years old, and his mom and his older brother are reportedly not – letting that happen. Like, he is put out there on his Instagram. I guess his...
What do you mean they're not letting it happen?
They will not... His mom, because he's not 18, his mom will not sign off on his letter of intent.
It's like a guardian
slip? To Ohio State. They're forcing him to go to Tennessee. So technically, right now, he's committed to going to Tennessee.
Oh, but he's
going
to turn 18 by the time he gets to make his choice, right?
He turns 18 in 20 days. In 20 days, right, he's going to be a Buckeye. But, like, just that in of itself, it shows how discombobulated this entire college football landscape has become. Because, like... I'm sure there's pretty big dollars at play here, too.
Yeah, but it's ruining it for me, but it's also ruining it for me in the idea that now I can tell which team is going to be good years down the road based off of who I see is getting big money from boosters.
And I think it's just
like
going to be
Texas Tech should
brands.
Not be as good as it is this quickly and this right away.
And it's just going to be
it shouldn't.
It's going to be Ohio State. It's going to be Bama. And I know they've kind of had their struggles with it a little bit, but something tells me that they're going to be able to spend a little bit at some point
soon.
I mean,
but people are going to, they're going to vomit all over themselves trying to talk all these good things about Cignetti this weekend. Google me. Okay, great. Google this. You spent a lot of money. Yeah, congratulations. You paid Mendoza a bunch of money, and so you're able to pick up exactly where you left off, and that's why Indiana, look at Indiana's roster. If you guys pulled it up, the reason why this game is a 4.5-point spread, they have talent everywhere. They score 45 points a game. That's the second most in all of college football. They put up yards like you wouldn't believe. This is Oregon of 10 years ago. Yeah. It is insane what's on this roster. It's not Cignetti being something special. This was a know-nothing coach for a million years, winning at schools you and I would never even dream of visiting, okay? Hey, but he got a lot of money influxed in there. It's like Indiana's always been a basketball school. Now they're a football school. It's not Cignetti's magic. All of a sudden, they had an influx of cash, and you can follow the green brick road. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to miss a lot of the blue bloods, and this is part of why. I have a hard time even in the NFL where I'm like rooting against the Chiefs at the current moment. It's like rooting against the Chiefs is fun until the playoffs happen and Patrick Mahomes is sitting on his couch watching these games, you know? I don't know how I feel this upcoming college football playoff when it's Indiana against Texas Tech. And I'm like, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I think I want the sport to become. Vanderbilt's in play? Vanderbilt?
Vanderbilt just flipped a 5-star quarterback.
From Alabama?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was going to Georgia.
What is going on? Like, that's not how the sport is supposed to be done. And so, like, yes, a lot of this is me playing catch up to the idea that this is the new reality. And I get it. I might as well be Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino right now. But the whole thing just bothers me.
At some point, it's laughable, but it's true. Like, they still call this amateur sports. Like the NCAA still tries to sell you that these are student athletes and all of this. Like, just become affiliated with the National Football League. Like, let college football just become what the G League is to the NBA, kind of.
I mean, it's a thought. I'm open to anything.
Because they're making the same amount. Like, they're pretty much making the same amount of money.
That's why I say, I don't even why they have the bother with these guys going to school. Like, it's like Mendoza's a fun story. He's got two different masters.
Yeah.
Like, from a school perspective, he's accomplished a lot. Leave that option open. Okay, if they want to go to school, great, fine. But you should also then give them the opportunity to take the value of what the school is, $70,000 a year tuition for Indiana, let's say. I imagine it's somewhere in that ballpark. And if you don't want to go, great. You don't have to go to class. You cash the $70,000 check, and you go about your day.
It's a dangerous game to play, though, because I bet
there,
you.
But we're there, though.
But a lot of 17-year-olds, like, at 17.
And they should have that option.
At 17, I would have signed up for the $70,000 for 4 years.
And that's all I'm saying. You should have that option. That's how I see it. The way that this is set up right now, again, I'm in a weird way, I'm in favor of just pay him even more money if you want from this setup. But what are we doing the charade for? What are we doing this big song and dance for? That's where you lose me a little bit. All right, we are going to get into the game, though, and then obviously we'll have more on this game a little bit later on. Joshua Perry, he was on yesterday with us. I don't know if you caught any of it or not, but, man, he had me feeling better about the idea that Mendoza could just come in there and make everyone's lives a living hell on Saturday. He seemed to think this game was all about the run game for Indiana, and that was going to be the key and the focus. In fact, he made it seem more like Mendoza was a passenger along for the ride than he was the main feature.
Wow, that's kind of surprising to hear, just because when I think of this game, I think, like a lot of people, you're trying to figure out who's going to come out of this the Heisman Trophy winner, right? Like, that's how this game's mm-hmm. been marketed, that's how this game's been sold, that, like, if Julian Sayin can show out against this Indiana team that is very talented, you probably have to give him the Heisman Trophy, and I think the same thing could be said for Fernando Mendoza. If you could put up some points on this Buckeye defense, like, you probably deserve the trophy. So to think that it could be, like, a lower-scoring, run-centric game, kind of fascinating angle.
From a Browns perspective, are you rooting for Mendoza to look good?
Technically, no, right? Because I got the New Orleans Saints who need a quarterback, and I've got the Vegas Raiders need a quarterback still in front of me.
You think if he looks too good the way it's set up right now, then you have no chance of Mendoza.
Right? Like, right now, I've got if the draft were to be held today, I got the fifth overall pick with two quarterback needy teams in front of me.
But I would think, though, because you also have the Titans as being the number one overall pick, it's a sale. I don't know that we have to worry necessarily about the teams in front of us.
They're going to package that Jacksonville pick and send it to Tennessee.
As long as the Titans hold serve and then have the number one overall pick, then we're just in a bidding war.
Yeah, but
it doesn't matter where you finish. You're just in a bidding war.
Then you're losing out on a wide receiver. On Isaiah World to protect your young quarterback's blindside for the next five seasons.
I'll lose out on if they think Mendoza's the guy. I'll lose out on anybody. That doesn't matter to me. If you like the quarterback, you take the quarterback.
I think there's another layer of this too. Are people that sold on Mendoza, or is he just a Kirk Cousins variant?
Well, and obviously we got like 6 months to get into that and figure that whole thing out. I've told you before, I like Dante more than I like Mendoza right now. My balls can change. Talk to me Saturday around midnight and maybe I'll be like, whoa, this Mendoza guy, pretty great. 216-474-0092. Get your thoughts in there. Twitter reactions also, they're powered by our friends over there at Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Also powered by Scheiben Jewelers is our Browns insider, Daryl Rotter. He joins us next right here on The Fan.